And I'm glad I can report to you today that salvation is for all people. Amen. And that God is no respecter of persons. And we'll see that as we go through what's taking place here. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. If you have your Bible, hold it up. Let's see. That's good. A lot of Bibles. And we praise the Lord for that. We're a Bible-believing church. Beginning with verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." Now that's a very clear-cut message that Peter preached or shared with Cornelius and his household on this occasion. Cornelius was a Roman centurion. A centurion would be sort of like a captain in the military today, but he had 100 people under him, and he was sent there with those 100 soldiers that were from Italy, and he was over them, and they were to keep the peace in all in Jerusalem and in that area in where the Jews were abiding. And so that was his calling. That was his purpose as far as his life job. Peter lived about 60 miles below that. Both of them were on the Mediterranean coast. Peter lived in Joppa. He was living with Simon the tanner. God was teaching him some things. Normally he wouldn't fool with animals, dead animals, or anything like that. But God was getting ready to show him a great lesson. I can believe that this man was walking in the light that he had. The Bible talks about the fact here that the centurion Cornelius was a man that prayed and a man that looked to God and a man that was searching for more of the exact truth about the Lord Jesus, about God, and about Christianity. But he was walking in the light that he had. I believe this, that Jesus said, "I'm that light that shines in every man." And I believe that he has given us enough evidence throughout all of creation and many other things that if a person really begins to pursue God and they want to know God and they want to know more about God, then God is going to give them more light as he looks upon their heart and the sincerity of their heart. And so God goes to work for this man who is seeking truth. He's seeking more truth than he had. Now, he was not already a convert to Judaism. He had not converted over to Judaism, but he was just a man walking in the knowledge that he had as a Roman soldier, a centurion, to try to figure out what was right. But you know what? God knew his heart, and God knows your heart and my heart today. You see, God is omniscient, is he not? He knows your heart today. He knows what's going on in your heart. And he knew what was going on in this centurion's heart because God is omniscient. By the way, the Old Testament saints looked forward to the cross. They were saved by looking forward to the cross. They were not saved by the law or animal sacrifices. That's not what saved the Old Testament saints. They were always looking forward to the cross. As a matter of fact, our New Testament ordinances, what are they talking about? We're talking about baptism, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. When we have the Lord's Supper, we're talking about His broken body and the fact that He shed His blood for us. Those are the New Testament ordinances that are types of what Jesus Christ did, and we do them to remember what He did. In the Old Testament, they had these Old Testament ordinances and things that they did, but they were teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, when He spoke to Nicodemus, was talking to him about the fact that he had to be born again, and He went back in some cases and talked about the fact that there was a serpent in the wilderness and it was raised up and whoever looked would live. And that was a picture of Jesus Christ. And then He talked about Philip in the Ethiopian eunuch over the New Testament. Philip went back to the Old Testament to explain who Jesus was. In Isaiah chapter 53, He was talking about the fact that we go astray and the Lord hath laid on Him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And so when Philip is talking to the eunuch, he's going back to the Old Testament and talking about Jesus Christ. The Bible says Abel offered a more acceptable or a better sacrifice than Cain. How so? How did he offer? They both were religious. They both offered sacrifices. Is religion enough to get us to heaven? They both offered sacrifices. But the problem was, Cain, his sacrifices represented his works, but the sacrifice that Abel brought represented the work of the atoning animal, then the blood had to be shed. And so it all pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we learn today and are reminded of the necessity of salvation. It is necessary for you to be saved and for Cornelius to be saved in order to go to heaven. Look back at verses 42 and 43 again. And He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. Jesus, my dear friend, is your judge. And someday you will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. You will stand at the great white throne judgment unsaved, or you'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ as a saved person, but He is going to be the judge. And He points out that that's the way it's going to be of the quick and the dead. To Him, verse 43, give all the prophets witness that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive what? Remission of sins. You are a sinner. You say, I didn't come to hear that today. Well, I'm sorry. I've got to tell you anyway. You are a sinner. We're all sinners. Everybody in here is a sinner. Cornelius was a sinner. Was he religious? Yes. Was he walking in the light he had? Yes. Did he need more light? Yes. Was he somewhat godly? The Bible says he was. But he was just, I think, religious, and he needed to be totally converted by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Religion does not save you. It has nothing to do. Religion has nothing to do with saving you. There's a lot of religion in the world today that is sending people to hell. Did you know that? I mean, a lot of religion that's causing people to miss the truth. 2 Timothy 3:5. The Bible says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. It's a form. That's all it is. A form of godliness, but denying the truth. The Pharisees, Jesus was hard on them. What did they do? They were religious. They had their checklist. They went through that every day. But it was all on the outside. And Jesus said that you're hypocrites. He called them serpents. He called them whitewashed sepulchres. I could never get away with that probably. But anyway, Jesus called them that. You know why? He knew what they were. He knew what was in the heart of the Pharisees, and that's exactly what He called them. They had a lot of religion and cleaned up on the outside, but they were not right on the inside. They had to be saved. Their heart had to be changed. There are a lot of ceremonies today that people are depending on to get them to heaven. all kinds of things. Ceremonies of confirmation. Ceremonies that are highly ritualistic. Ceremonies of a lot of liturgy and going through forms and fashions and doing this and ablutions and all of those kinds of things, including sometimes the baptismal waters. But they don't save us. They have nothing to do with saving us. And as I said, going back to Cain, Cain was very religious. He came with his offering. But the problem was there was no blood. What can wash away my sins? Listen, nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away the guilt of my sins. And one of the problems people in the world have is the problem of guilt. Everybody has the problem of guilt because we're sinners. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he says, we are sinners, the remission of sins, the forgiveness, the remission of our sins. So, salvation is necessary. Secondly, the availability of salvation. Again, we go back to verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness that through the name, now get this next word, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission. The fact that salvation is available to all people. Did you know God is no respecter of persons? Go back to verse 34 in this chapter. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Why did he say that? What had happened? Well, God had been working on Cornelius' life 30 miles away, and then he was working on Peter, who was a Jew, and the Jews didn't like the Gentiles. They had not recognized the Gentiles getting saved and coming in to the blessings of the Jews. And God said, I've got to correct this, and we're going to have a second Pentecost. The first Pentecost was for the Jews, the second Pentecost for the Gentiles. And so he says, I'm going to have to teach Peter something. Peter is filled with his prejudices. God help us to get over our prejudices. Amen? He was filled with prejudice. And so Jesus, the Spirit of God came to him. He was on the top of the house. They had flat roof houses. And he was up there meditating. And all of a sudden he was hungry. And then all of a sudden he fell asleep. And he went into a trance. And God gave him a vision in that trance. And he let down sheets with all kinds of animals in it. And keep in mind, it was 12 o'clock noon when this happened, so he was already hungry before he went to sleep and was wondering where lunch was, probably. But the Lord said, I wanted to get you real good and hungry, and I want to show you something. Look at all of this. And he said, eat it. And Peter said, not so, Lord. That's a contradiction. If the Lord says eat it, eat it. He's the Lord. Not so, Lord. I'm not going to do it. And he said, you're going to do it. I want you to do it. It's the right thing to do. He said, I've never eaten that kind of food. I eat kosher food. I don't eat that kind of food. And the Lord said, well, let me show you another sheet. And he brought it up and brought it back down again. And, you know, it's interesting. Peter denied Christ three times, and Christ had to ask him to confess three times. Now, this stubborn Baptist had to be presented the sheet three times so he'd get the message. God wanted to be sure he got the message. And the third time, he got it. And all of a sudden, somebody was out the gate knocking on the door. It was the other men that had been sent, three of them. And he got six of his men. And they said, you know, God must be in this thing. And they went all the way back to Joppa, to Cornelius' house. And God showed Peter that the gospel was not only for the Jews, but thank God for the Gentiles. Because how many of you in this building are Gentiles? Raise your hand. I'm not talking about your financial practices now. I'm talking about Gentiles. Okay, you're a Gentile. If you don't know, see me after church. I'll tell you what you are. Some of you didn't know. But some of you may be Jewish. Well, let me tell you, the gospel is for Jew and Gentile. In other words, it's for everybody. God is no respecter of persons. People in India get saved. People in Africa get saved. Ms. Volante's here. And Steve's out there working, I think. But people all over the world get saved. Dark complexion. Red, yellow, black, or white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus died for all people all over the world. That's why we believe in reaching a lost world through our missionaries and giving them the gospel. And so salvation is available to all people. John 3:16, for God so loved the United States. No. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Matthew 28, He said, go teach them, baptize them, and preach to them. Who? To all nations, all peoples in the earth. Acts 1:8, He said to the apostles, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and where else? The uttermost parts of the world. And Simeon, when he saw Jesus, the little infant, Simeon said, He is the light unto whom? The Gentiles. The light unto the Gentiles. Thank God, salvation is for everybody. The necessity, the availability, the declaration of salvation. What is it? Verses 38 through 42 again, he tells us what it is. It's all there. The gospel is right here. Verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, with power. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did in the land of the Jews, Jerusalem. Now notice, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. By the way, we're all guilty, not just the Jews. Our sins nailed Christ to the cross. The Romans nailed him to the cross. The Jews, we all nailed him to the cross. Him, Jesus, God raised up the third day. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Amen. He was crucified, but God raised him up. Everywhere Peter and Paul and the apostles and others were preaching in the early days of the Old Testament, what did they preach? They preached Jesus. Every time they preached salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. So him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. That is, Jesus had a post-resurrection ministry in his body. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God. The apostles and the 500 and all. Even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Honeycomb and fish. Sounds good to me, doesn't it? Or taco out there in a little bit. But Jesus went in, walked through the door, sat down with them, and ate a meal in his glorified body. And he didn't even have to open the door. And we don't understand those dimensions. We don't have to. God says it's true. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. And to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth on him shall receive remission of sins. The substitutionary death of Jesus. Can I illustrate it very quickly like this? Here it is. Let's say this represents my guilt, my sin, your sin right here. Here it is. I'm guilty. I'm a sinner. Here's Jesus over here. Jesus died on the cross. He became my substitute. He who knew no sin became sin for me, that I through his righteousness, or I through him, might be made the righteousness of God. It is the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. And then we see not only that, but the result of salvation. Verses 44 through 47. First of all, we'll notice that we see he's sealed by the Holy Spirit. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. They believed, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. This is the Gentile day of Pentecost to them. And this was a time where God was showing the Jews, through Peter and others, that these people truly got saved because the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. And then they of the circumcision which believed, those were the Jews that were there that came with Peter, they were astonished. They were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Friend, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you've never been saved. The Holy Spirit dwells in you, and he affirms the fact that Christ lives in you, that you're saved. Then he says, for they heard them speak with tongues or languages and magnify God. That was the sign gift of the early church for the day of Pentecost, and then also for this Gentile day of Pentecost, parallel signs. These we do not need anymore. We have the completed canon of Scripture. And when those that were in part are done away with, we don't need them anymore. And that's all taught in the Word of God. But there was a sign gift. Hey, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they were able to speak in another intelligent, knowable language. Not some unintelligible gibberish, but an intelligent, knowable glossolalia language that they spoke in on this occasion. And so what happened? They got saved. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and dwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. And then what did they do after that? They were baptized. The Bible talks about it in verse 48. He commanded them to be baptized. They were already saved. You get it? They already had the Holy Spirit in them. You can't have the Holy Spirit living in you unless you're saved. And then you follow the Lord in baptism to show that you believe that Jesus died, was buried, and arose for you. And then after that, verse 48 says, then prayed they him to tarry certain days. They said, we're new converts, now we need a little help. And can you imagine having Peter to be your theology teacher? I think that would be a pretty good deal. And maybe those that came with him stayed to hang around too, and he'd taught them. And they all were learning together what God was saying to them, and they were disciples. It reminds us of the fact that we need to help people who just get saved and get discipled. Now, here's what I think God is saying to us through this whole thing. Cornelius was a religious man, a pretty good man, really, a good man. The Bible says he's a good man, but he had to be born again. I don't care how good you are, you've got to be born again or you will not go to heaven. You must be born again. You say, preacher, how do I do that? You believe what I just told you today about Jesus. He died for you. He's your substitute. He paid your sin debt. And they preach Christ to them and ask them to believe. And that's what you have to do. We are sinners, and the Bible says if we'll confess Christ with our mouth, then whosoever, thank God for that, shall call upon the name of the Lord, not might be saved or hope I'm saved, but shall be saved and know I'm saved. These things I've written unto you that have believed on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Cornelius was a religious man, but he needed the blood. Everybody needs Christ, the good and the bad, the moral and the immoral. Those who are out on the streets as prostitutes and dope addicts and all of that, they need Christ. But the good person needs Christ too, because we're all sinners and we're all imperfect. And I'm glad to tell you that God is no respecter of persons. Peter, you've got to get over your prejudice. And he pretty well did. I think Paul had to reprimand him one time after that a little bit. But he had learned his lesson, and that is that the law didn't apply as such in the Old Testament thing to the Gentiles, and that salvation was available to all people. I'm glad I can talk to somebody anywhere and say, you know, if you would accept Christ as your Savior, admit you're a sinner, take Him into your heart and ask Him to save you, He'll do it. And He absolutely will do that. And then, if you've been saved afterwards, you need to obey the Lord. Follow the Lord in believers' baptism. You see, if you've been baptized 10 times through immersion, through pouring, through sprinkling, through whatever, if you've been baptized a lot of ways before you got saved, it's unscriptural baptism. Biblical baptism is not scriptural until you get saved. And then when you get saved, your desire should be to obey the Lord, and that would be to follow Him in believers' baptism and do what God wants you to do. And what is that, preacher? To grow. To grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How am I going to do that? Read your Bible every day. Stay in church. Go to a Sunday school class. Get good devotional material. Stay in it. Meditate silently somewhere in your prayer room with God, and God will cause you to grow. I think it also tells us that we need to be busy about soul winning, because everybody can be saved. We need to be telling everybody. We need to be witnessing to people and telling them. And here's something to think about. If you're a Christian, how's your testimony? This guy, Cornelius, didn't even claim to be a Christian, but he had much better testimony than a lot of people I know that claim to be Christians. Do you know what that is? Sad. That is sad. How's your testimony? People saying, here's what they said about a man who was unsaved. He was good. He tried to take care of his family. He did all of those things. And here we are sometimes saved, and some people who claim to be saved live like the devil. There's a problem with that. One, you either didn't get saved, or two, you're out of God's will and backslidden, and you need to make it right and rededicate your life. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed for just a moment. We're going to give our invitation and listen carefully. Would you please listen carefully to what I'm saying? Are you listening? Say amen. Amen. If you're here, it doesn't matter who you are, you realize you need Christ. We want you to come forward, step out, and receive Christ as your Savior today. We're not asking you to become a Baptist. We're not even asking you to join our church. But we're asking you, before you leave these grounds in this campus today, that you can say in your heart, if I died today, I know I'd go to heaven. By the way, can you say that? Can you say that? If I died today, I'm 100% for sure I'm going to heaven. If you can't say that, please step out. We'll not embarrass you. We'll very carefully speak to you. You don't have to make a speech. You don't have to tell anything. We just want to show you in the Bible, lead you in a prayer to ask Christ to save you. Would you come? There are some Christians that need to come. And others have prayer burdens. You need to bring them to the Lord today. Some of you may need to come for believers' baptism. Maybe others to join the church. May God help you to come. Father, we thank you for the gospel. Oh, how we thank you that the gospel is for all people everywhere. Doesn't matter how good we are, how bad we are, we thank you that Jesus was our substitute on the cross, and he paid our sin debt. And you said if we'd believe it and receive him, we could be saved and have eternal life in heaven and know that. And I pray for those that may be here today who do not know it, that they would come to Christ today. May you be with Christians who need to move, whatever the need may be. We'll praise you for the results in Jesus' name.